strong. Humans are programmed to survive. There is no right or wrong way to be. You have to figure out what works for you.
Hello and welcome again to another one of my little chats. Today I want to talk about kind of sticking to your resolutions, not really sticking to your programs, and why it's so hard for us. And nearly everyone has it. It's sort of a human condition. I'm not any different. I woke up this morning and usually I cycle. Usually I bike ride for a few hours and, you know, I start early in the morning. It's usually dark just when I leave and it's probably cold outside, and I do it and I feel great. But I haven't for the last week or so, because of the holidays and things going on. And I woke up this morning and I didn't cycle. I can drink some coffee. I can do some reading. I can chill out a little bit. And I thought, wow, this is actually nice. I could get used to this. And then I stopped and I thought, okay, what would my life or my body look like at the end of the year if I didn't cycle, if I didn't exercise, if I just had these nice, comfortable mornings? My body wouldn't be functioning as well as it is now, and it wouldn't feel as good. And so in that moment, I realized that's not what I want. I want to get up and exercise. I want to have the health and feeling and confidence that comes along with these exercising. So I have to give up that comfort to attain my goals. But why is it so hard for us? That is what I want to discuss today. The health and fitness industry is really only giving you one solution. The solution for fitness, and I've mentioned it before, is you apply a force to the body that exceeds its current ability and the body adapts. Okay, we know that. I've talked about it. But that's what the fitness industry is offering. They're saying, hey, I've got a better way to apply a force to your body. This way is not so uncomfortable, but look at the results it gets. Or my method gets you the results much quicker than the other methods, so you don't have to put so much time towards it. Whatever it is that they're offering, it's the same thing, just packaged a little differently. And those programs can be fantastic. They're probably excellent programs. And we're definitely progressing with the knowledge and understanding of how the body functions. So we are getting more efficient at it. We're getting way better at these programs. No matter the program, there's one factor which is the reason that all programs fail, which is compliance. So all we're really doing is saying, I'm going to repackage the answer I have, which is a fitness program, and I'm going to try and apply that, this new solution, to the problem, as opposed to dealing with the problem. The fitness industry's solution to the new repackaged program not working is to tell you to work harder, to fight and to push. And yeah, that advice applies sometimes. What my question is what are you fighting against? What is this thing you have to push against? What about if we understand that and maybe remove that? Maybe we don't have to fight anymore. Maybe then we can just kind of ease into fitness and bring it into our lifestyle, and then no more fighting and the results we get. Yes, that's an idealistic and simplistic view of it, but stick with me here. Let's just have a discussion about it and see where you stand at the end of it. Often people's resolutions or their goals are to lose weight, to get leaner. We all pretty much have the same muscular structure. Some of us just have it covered up. And so if we get leaner, you can see the musculature more. Yes, we develop muscles to change the shape of our bodies, but pretty much it's all the same under there. And the mistake people make is they want to use exercise to get to this point, to get lean. Yes, it'll get you there. Exercise uses energy. But the way to think about it is, if your energy storage is full, you can't keep filling it up. Our bodies are amazing at finding ways to store more energy. It's pretty much the body's number one goal, is to wear meals on our body. And yeah, I know that's a funny way to mention it, but basically we are. If you have a 500 calorie meal, if there is about 3,500 calories in a pound of fat, that's about 7 meals you're carrying in each pound. I know that's a very simplistic way to look at it, but the concept kind of is true. So that's why I say we're wearing our meals. And some of us are more efficient at storing meals on our body. The ones that would be efficient, they are the ones that would survive when there's scarcity of food. So back in prehistoric times, we would be the ones that survived. My family genetics are very good at storing fat. And everyone's a little bit different at it. That's why some people, you know, have a crazy metabolism and they can eat a ton and not put on weight. Other people, they look at food and they store fat. There's obviously much more complexity to this, like the role of insulin and glucose conversion, etc. But for our purpose, we just need to understand the idea of it. So we need to get clear on our energy intake and the purpose of nutrition. And really, we want to consume minerals and vitamins. And so that floods our cells with this nutrition. And so our cells can grow and divide and do what they need to do. Then there's energy that keeps us moving. And so we just got to get this in balance. We've got to make sure we're getting all this nutrition in, enough for survival and to thrive. And we have way more access to variety of foods and different minerals and vitamins now than any other time in history. And so that's why we should be able to live longer and grow stronger and bigger and faster and outdo what our ancestors were capable of. Speaking of survival, I just learned something interesting today from the book Sapiens by Harari. And he was talking about in our ancestors, there's a type of human that came before us, which was called Homo erectus, and they lived for 2 million years. And in it, he says that it's doubtful that Homo sapiens, us, are going to even live another 1,000 years. So in terms of survival, our ancestors, that particular type of human, they were way more efficient than us at survival. However, we have mastered agriculture, and so we have abundance of food. We just don't know how to manage it yet, so it keeps us healthy. We're actually, we've controlled the food chain so much that it's making us unhealthy. So if we untangle this a little bit, we can get really healthy and hopefully engineer the survival of our species. If getting lean is part of your goal, then diet should be a massive component. Okay, so what are some of these programmed factors in our DNA that attribute to survival? I won't go into them into a lot of detail because I've talked about it in other podcasts. But basically, we have a whole instinctual component that is driven for survival, and we have an emotional component that is layered on top of that that make us feel really good when we eat and really bad when we don't eat. And what supports these systems? It's that little voice in our head that help us justify or come up with an excuse why we should or shouldn't do something. This is the main reason for lack of compliance. This is the component that we actually have control of. We just have to learn how to manage it. And this is the main barrier that is causing the industry, the fitness industry, to tell you to work hard and force against something. So if we can understand this aspect of the whole system, we gain control. And these justifications show up, or these voices in our head show up as things like, it's too cold outside. I'm too tired. I didn't get enough sleep last night. I'm going to exercise later. I'll just eat this one piece of cake and then I'll do double cardio tomorrow. These are all my justifications. You might have similar ones or other unique ones for yourself, but understanding that is the key to getting control over it. And we'll talk in a little bit about how you do that. But for now, it's just important to think about that there is that component. The tricky thing is that these little buggers, they know us so well because it's us. So they know what excuses are going to work for us. If you're fear adverse, they'll align with your fears. It's, I don't want to go outside in the cold because I might get sick. It's raining outside. It might be slippery. I don't want to fall. Visibility might be bad. Cars won't see me when I'm crossing the street. Whatever is going to work for us, our minds are going to be telling us that. I'm not suggesting you always act against this little voice. I think it's there for safety. So you always should listen to it and then cognitively make a decision independent from that. So I want you to be safe and be logical about it, but just see, is it an excuse or isn't it an excuse? The tricky part is that these little voices in our head don't really ever go away. They're sort of controlling us like puppets all the time. But you can learn how to not listen to them. And they do get quieter, but as soon as you let them, they will be right back trying to get control of the situation again. I know this sounds all a little bit strange, but I'll show you some ways to kind of test this and so you can see if you have these, and maybe you don't have this. This is just my idea, my discussion, so we're just having fun with it right now. So what's another component that stops us? And to explain this, I want to first talk about homeostasis. Homeostasis is when the body's in balance. I think homeostasis can be translated to an outward sense of comfort. Also, in being comfortable is often stillness. And in stillness, we're conserving energy. So our programming loves that because we're conserving this valuable energy. We're not going out there and running around and using it so it doesn't have to replenish it. And so we're in safety mode because we have enough of this energy in case something catastrophic happens and we don't have access to food for months at a time. This is basically how our program's thinking. If our program could think, this is how it's thinking. So comfort may feel good, but it actually prevents us from getting to our goals. And it goes back to the story I started with about me cycling. If I just stayed in that state of comfort or tried to always find comfort, I wouldn't physically be as healthy as I wanted to be. So as I started to think about this more and more, I realized that most of the things I want in life are the other side of a challenge, the other side of stress. If I want to learn a skill, when I start off, I'm not good at it and it's really challenging to learn it. But we know now for longevity, if I want my brain to be functioning, I have to challenge it. I have to learn something. I have to learn a language, an instrument. I have to learn math, something complex, but that's uncomfortable. So I have to be in a state of discomfort to get to what I want. Same with getting fit. My body's deconditioned. I have to try and challenge it so it adapts and becomes stronger and fitter and healthy and functions better. And so I have to go through this period of discomfort. And even now, when I'm relatively fit, I have to go and keep pushing myself and keep challenging myself. So I have to be uncomfortable. It's definitely way easier for me to get up and shower in a warm shower and put on clothes and go out for my day, or, you know, late in the day, not have to change and get sweaty and uncomfortable. It's definitely way easier for that. But that won't produce the life I want. So we got to change our relationship to comfort and discomfort, knowing what we want. Everything we want is the other side of comfort. It's going through discomfort. We should be waking up in the morning going, okay, what challenges can I take on today? What can I put my body through? What movements is my body not good at? What do I have to get stronger? And then I'm going to do that repeatedly, and then my body's going to get stronger. So I'm waking up in the morning going, hey, what can I take on? Even other challenges and other problems, the more we strategically think about something or deal with something, with stress, with difficulty, the better we get at it. So instead of going, how am I going to avoid stress today? How am I going to avoid discomfort today? I should wake up and go, hey, bring it on. How can I challenge myself today? Because I know I'm going to get stronger on the other side of it. I know I'm starting to sound like one of those out there positive thinking kind of guys. And yes, I love positive thinking, but I don't want to be one of those guys who just say, yeah, work, fun, just think healthy, think happy and you'll be happy. No, I want to talk about the whole mechanism of it so we can understand it, and then when you apply these ideas of be happy, they're on a clean slate. You're not overlapping them on this programming and this internal mechanism that you already have, because that won't work. We have to kind of clear the slate, understand the way we operate as humans and ourselves, and then we can place this new programming on top of it. And when we run into a barrier that stops us, we understand that barrier and we can clear the barrier and get to the other side more easily. So why exercise at all? Most of you could probably list a few reasons. And what's important is that the reasons that you choose are meaningful to you, or else it's just going to be a battle that you're showing up for, a battle you're showing up for because of someone else's ideas. Like society thinks we should have a certain look and you don't really want to. And so you're showing up to attain that look, and then it's miserable. You're not doing it for yourself. So you have to find out what really works for you, and then do it. But let's talk about some other benefits, because we definitely don't hold those at the forefront of exercise when we are exercising. We're so stuck on how uncomfortable we are, or we want to get through it, or let's do as minimal as possible, or as quick as possible. We're not actually thinking how we're helping our bodies. And it is kind of crazy when you think about it, like, we know this is the body we get for however long we're alive. And we don't challenge it in a way that makes it stronger and healthier and function better. Some people get their cars and they're like, okay, I want my car to last as long as possible, so I'm going to, you know, look after it really, really well. And their car lasts a long time. We don't apply that to us. So not all of us, not everyone does, but we should be thinking about that. If I got a restriction on a joint, like on a car, if I got a flat tire, I would go and fix that tire. The thing is, we have compensation, so I can work around my restriction in my joints and I'll just stop doing those movements, because if I have a restricted joint, it might give me knee pain, and so I don't want knee pain, so I'll just stop doing the movement that gives me knee pain. I don't go and go, oh, let's find out the cause of that problem, get that hip moving again, so the knee doesn't have to take the stress. We call the knee a slave joint because it doesn't have as much movement as the hip and ankle, so it just kind of has to follow along. So that gets stressed and we come up with a compensation for it, stop doing the movement, or we have a limp or we have a little twist in our bodies and we're trying to avoid this pain instead of going, let's fix it. Or, you know, sometimes we get too far down the road when we're in pain and it's because 20 years ago we should have stopped doing what we were doing. But now we have, you know, degeneration of cartilage and bone and so much dysfunction, we can't really repair it. We know we're getting older, so let's prep now so then we have quality of life as we age. We have all the answers for longevity. Okay, we don't have all the, well, we have the answers for quality of life as you age. And that will extend your life and create more quality in your life as you age. You know, there's a lot of science going on now with programming and telomeres and the DEF2 receptors and all that stuff that will keep us alive, speculated forever. But until that happens, we need to look after our bodies. And that'll be even worse. Imagine if we're living forever. We got to look after these vessels, our bodies, for way longer. So let's get good at it now. Let's remove the barriers that stop us from looking after our bodies now. And so we make it easy. And then we can thrive and feel good and run and jump as we're older. There's so many examples of people who look after their bodies and they function so well when they're aging. There's this one YouTube video I saw of this. I think she was 84-year-old gymnast in Germany doing things on the parallel bars that I couldn't do now. I mean, it was unbelievable. You guys should try and look. I think you just search in YouTube 80-year-old gymnast and you can see some of these things she's doing. Like, it really is inspiring. Okay, so let's talk about some of the benefits of exercising so you can keep these in the forefront of your mind as you are facing this wall of discomfort that you have to break through. As you exercise, the blood sort of rushes through your body, which delivers nutrition, oxygen to the cells. It flushes out waste, swelling, filters the liver. Your muscles react and get stronger. Powerful hormones are being sent into the brain and help the brain grow and improve in function. Joints get motion back in them, pump nutrition into the stagnant areas that haven't had movement, creating space, and they're not compressed anymore. You break up the compression in the lungs by using them more and expanding them more. When we are doing cardiorespiratory training, our lungs are growing alveoli, more branches, so they can get more oxygen out of the lungs into the venous system, into the blood. Also, your heart gets stronger, it can pump more blood, the size of the left ventricle increases, capillary beds increase, getting oxygen out of the venous system into the muscles. This is what's going on when you challenge yourself. Like, it's unbelievable, all the things that take place. And so instead of going, as I squat down or as I run up this hill, oh my God, I'm feeling so uncomfortable. Think about what's happening in your body, how all this is going on, and you'll be able to breathe better and move better and have less pain, and your body will be able to function better when you're 80, 90, 100 years old. Aging is really a loss of cells. We produce more cells than we lose till midlife, and then we start losing more cells than we produce. And so if you can extend that part of the middle where you're losing more cells, you will age better. So as we lose cells, our bodies deteriorate, even though they are slowly deteriorating and exercise is getting harder and we don't see the results as quick, we can make them function way better than we are doing. We shouldn't just let it slip into old age and not function. You can just look up on YouTube now these elderly people and what they're doing and how their bodies are functioning. Like, we haven't even scraped the surface of how we can age better, how we can be healthier when we age. Like, our bodies are amazing and they'll keep adapting. They'll keep getting stronger and functioning better the more we apply these challenges, the more we put them through these uncomfortable, challenging situations, even when we're older. So we have the key to longevity, or as I said, the quality of life as we age. We just don't apply it. Because I'm talking about challenging your body and discomfort doesn't mean to say I don't think comfort and rest is important. I think that's massively important. I think a lot in Western culture, we get so tired from an emotional state, from stress, from anger, from upset, that we're too exhausted to go and exercise. So we just want to rest and we just want to get comfortable and we just want to gratify ourselves with food and with putting our feet up and watching TV. So all that is very important. We just have to find what balance works for you and gets you the results you want and your body feeling as good as possible. Sometimes, you know, if I go out at night, I go out late, I want to sleep in the next day. But sometimes I get up and I exercise and I'll feel better. Yeah, I have to get to bed early that next night or a few nights after that so my body's functioning and recovers, but I don't need to always be comfortable. There's always an excuse to be comfortable. Like I said, there's a reason and justification. And mostly it's because, oh, I'm so tired. And you're so tired because you have so much stress in your life. And so you don't challenge the body enough. So if your life is like that, we got to figure out a way to untangle it. We got to figure out a way to deconstruct it and get all the elements back in alignment. So then you can live the life you want. You can have all the fun and the partying and the going out and working hard at your job and getting the salary you want. And you can have all those things, but also be in balance. So that's what we have to have conversations about. It's not giving anything up. It's not one way or the other way. It's not possible for a lot of people to go, okay, I'm going to eat salad and kale and healthy food every single day. And I'm going to go to bed at 8 o'clock and I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm not going to have stress in my life. It's not possible. So we just got to figure out how we manage that. And if you have the tools and you understand your mechanism, your machinery, then you can apply these tools in a cognitive way. We can use our brains as opposed to controlling us and getting us into stress and deficit. We can use our brains to strategically get us out of it. Say you live to 100 years old. If you break that down into weeks, that is 5,200 weeks. If you deduct your age in weeks, so say you're around 30 years old, you know, that's about 1,560 weeks that you've already used. So you have 3,640 weeks left to live. Most people think they have so much time. But if you break it down into weeks, it's like, what week are you going to start? Is it next week? Is it the week after that? Is it in the summertime? When are you going to start taking on these challenges and these things that make you feel better? The longer you wait, the harder it gets. Because as we talked about, as you age, you lose cells and your body doesn't function as well. And so applying these challenges is harder. So you already have a setback. So the sooner you start, the better, the more efficient it's going to be, the easier it's going to be in the future. Now is the week to start. Now is the day to start. And it doesn't have to be something massive. Like I've said before, when you do an exercise that doesn't overload the system, doesn't really challenge you, it's still beneficial. You're still getting the heart rate up and the fluid exchange in your body, and neurologically it's being stimulated. You're not having the adaptations. The body doesn't have to adapt to get stronger to meet those demands, but it still is getting stimulated. So even if, like, I can't work out, I can't challenge my body in the gym or go for a run or a bike ride, I don't have time for that, but I could do 100 squats or 100 push-ups. That'll take 5-10 minutes. Or whatever your number is. Maybe right now it's 50 push-ups, or you can do 100 push-ups in sets of 10. Whatever it is, in 5-10 minutes, I can at least stimulate my body. The muscles start to break down within a few days. And so if you keep stimulating them, they won't break down. So if in between when I go to the gym or go do exercise, I'm just doing 5 minutes of something before I go to bed, I'm still staying healthy. And it gets you into the habit of doing something. So there's less excuses. There's less reasons why you can't. That won't get you the full healthy body that you probably want, or maybe it will, maybe that's enough for you, but you got to keep challenging yourself more and more. And it may not be exercise. You can do, you know, 5 minutes of stretching before you go to bed. You can do one stretch. You can stretch. You can reach and hold on to your toes for a few minutes. That's making you healthier. So there's no excuse not to do something in a day. Take a few days off when you go on vacation. Maybe don't exercise. But then you got to get back to it. Just remember, the life, the body you want, the way you want to age is not in the comfort. So get back on the horse as quickly as you can if you fall off. In order to remember this and understand it, I came up with a little formula that I call my fitness formula. Basically, what it is, it's your motivating factors times the desired results plus the challenge you need to apply, subtracting the hurdles plus new habits equals your desired results. Okay, so if we break it down, it's all the things I've just talked about. You need to find your motivating factor. What really inspires you, and not something, it can't be something you don't really believe in. If you don't think you need to get leaner, but you're going to exercise, that's not your motivational factor. It may be something like, hey, I'm going on vacation, I have to, you know, wear beach shorts or fit in a bikini, or I got an event and I have to fit into a dress. It may be that. Whatever the motivational factor, that's what I'm talking about there, okay? Then you have the desired result. It could be, I need to lose 30 pounds. I want to build up my vanity strength. And what I mean by that is muscles that aren't really that useful that we want to make bigger. So it's really just for looks. So my chest and my shoulders, my biceps, I don't really need to pick up a massive amount of weight for survival. But if I want to look strong, then I do. Then there's the specific results you want. And then what challenges will get me those results? Obviously, part of it's nutrition, but just talking about the exercise component, getting leaner, burning off the excess calories will be, maybe I'll do cardio, long cardio. Maybe I want to build more muscle for a certain look, and so I want bigger chest. That also, more muscle obviously burns more calories, so that's a component of weight loss as well. And now, what are my hurdles? And this is the important part. We know the instinctual ones, so our programming. You need to learn your mechanism, your reasons and justifications. So that's subtracting the hurdles. And then we have to recondition ourselves with new habits. And that's going to get us results. So these new habits, what habits, what, who do I have to be? Who do I have to show up as continually to have the results I want? So if I want to look super ripped and super lean, I have to have the habits of someone that has that body. I have to eat what the people who has that body, the people who have that body eat. I have to apply the challenges on my body that the people who have that body apply to their body. It's way easier to see if it's written down, but you guys can understand the concept of it. So one important factor in that is you understanding how your mind is controlling you. And a really good way to find this out is to do something that you wouldn't typically do. For example, when I do cleanses, that little voice in my head really gets loud. You know, if I'm doing, I'm going to do a liquid day, my little voice in my head is sending me all these nice thoughts about cheeseburgers and pizzas and desserts, and it's running every excuse of why I shouldn't do that. And as soon as we find an excuse that's validated, that works for us, we jump on it. Like, I hear a lot of my clients, they read a ton of research, they shouldn't do cleanses, then they're great, okay, now I have ammunition in my corner to support why I shouldn't do that. And yes, there's crazy ways of eating that make you unhealthy. But when I'm talking about a cleanse, I'm really just talking about removing irritants and eating a ton of food that has a lot of minerals and vitamins. So it's really just healthy eating. I'm about to start one for 3 weeks, which I'm actually going to try some fasting in it. So I'm going to be really confronted by this. And what you want to start looking at is what the stories this voice in your head is telling you. One of the things I have my clients do is not only write down what they eat, when they eat, but why they're eating. Why are you eating now? And it's amazing. A lot of people do things like, oh, I don't know when I'm going to get food next, so I'm going to eat now. Even though I'm not hungry, I'm going to eat now in case I can't get food later. When actually we have a ton of meals stored on us, so we don't really need that. And then the other thing I ask this client is, how do you know you're hungry? Just think about that. What does that mean for you? Like, also write down how you know you're hungry. What are the signals that you get that go, oh, I should eat now. And just a side note, there's no correlation between the gastric noises coming from your stomach and hunger. The more you listen to what's going on internally, the more clear you get with it, the less power it will have over you. Don't forget to also think about the emotional component to eating. Are you trying to cover an emotional state? Are you feeling stress or anxiety? And when you eat, your body releases these happy hormones and you don't feel that emotion for a few minutes. That's a big component of it. Also, boredom is another one. You know, I stopped eating dinner for a few weeks. I try all these things on my body so I can understand how it affects me, and I can then, if they work well, I can apply it to my clients. When I say things, it doesn't mean that I'm doing that all the time. I've just tried it. But I stopped eating dinner, and what I realized is that dinner for me really filled a big void in, you know, fun things. Like I loved eating, I love cooking. And so when I didn't have that, I didn't know what to do with myself. And so people can use food to cover boredom as well. But anyway, whatever it is, get to know yours. Like I said before, I don't know if this voice ever really goes away, but it does quieten down. And one way to separate from this voice having control over you is through meditation. I'm not talking about the whole spiritual component of meditation, but just when you're quiet and you're trying not to engage in your thoughts, you're actually training yourself to separate from these voices, from these reasons and justifications that are puppeting you, that are controlling you. The other interesting thing about meditation is we have amazing neuroplasticity, meaning our brains can change and grow and adapt and think differently if we train them. Not only is meditation good to detach from the control that these excuses have over you, it puts it into a very pliable state so you can actually adapt it. It also gives you peace. So if you have a lot of stress in your life, you can separate from this bombardment of thoughts and ideas in your head, and it actually find a really calm space, and then you don't have stress. And so I actually use that idea for clients that are trying to lose weight and they want to eat less. If they think about, okay, I'm eating now, why am I eating? And they really get clear about it, and it is because they're trying to cover up an emotion like stress. In that moment, they go, okay, let me not use food as the answer to this, as the solution. I'll go and detach from this emotion, from this stress, and find this calm place. And then once I'm calm, my body's going to release calm hormones. So I'm not releasing stress hormones anymore. And so now I don't need the food to try and do it. It's actually a way healthier way. You get control over your brain. That's why Zen warriors would meditate. Ninjas and all these great warrior cultures practice getting control of the mind because it's controlling them if not. Anxiety, fears, all these emotions make you feel a certain way and cause you to take action in that way. Through meditation is a really good way to do it. It just gives you power, gives you control over it, and will help you disable these barriers that are stopping you from getting your goals. Let's talk a little bit about your lifestyle now. If you are not at your ideal fitness goal, you can ask yourself, do I look like my reasons and justifications, or do I look like my goals? And if it's more like your reasons and justifications, then something's going to have to adapt. As I mentioned before, exercising can only take a few minutes, so there's not really an excuse to get it in. But your body needs to thrive and be healthy, and it does that through putting it through challenges, so you have to find time for it. There's no other option. There isn't a pill or a quick fix. You have to go out there and challenge it. And it's amazing, the nervous system gets it lit up, and you actually, the body, everything's just turned on, you're feeling alive. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about flow state and how flow state happens when you are faced with some of your fears. And thinking about it, like when I'm coming downhill on my bike, like I'm so focused because I'm going, you know, 30 miles an hour on these tight turns. And if I make one mistake, I'm over the edge of the cliff. And so I'm super alert. My nervous system is turned on. My brain is alert. And so your body functions better and gets revived and alert when we put it through not only discomfort, but challenging times and even a little bit of fear. So you probably will have to shift something in your lifestyle, but you don't have to give up everything. I think eating these high caloric foods and going out and partying and dancing, I think that's healthy too. I think that's a big release. there's indigenous cultures that do that every now and then, and they release all this stress and upset. And I think that's important for us as emotional beings, that we do really stress. So you got to create your lifestyle. And sometimes you need to look at it strategically. So that's why keeping track of it through apps and through notes and stuff really helps, because you can see, oh, look, I ate unhealthy for all this time and I didn't realize I was doing it. And so much of our habits happen subconsciously that we need to bring them out and write them down so we can clearly look at it. And part of your lifestyle should be components that keep you on track. And whether that's a buddy that you meet to exercise with or holds you accountable, just know they have their own voices and reasons and justifications going on. So sometimes theirs will affect yours if you're relying on them. So just know that, but that's great to have that. So there's tons of apps out there that can help you get organized and stay on track and motivate you. There's also personal training. We understand at my company at Altus that our biggest job for all the practitioners in health, whether it's the chiropractors, therapists, massage, trainers, that what we do with you in that time we're with you is only a component of it. We need to be a stand for the goals you tell us you want. And so that's why it's so valuable to pay someone to help you maintain it. Yeah, they should be experts in and have all the knowledge, but also they got to be a stand for you when you come back and tell you failed, not to make you wrong about it, but just go, okay, let's get back on track. They're always the ones that are re-motivated whenever you show up, no matter what you've done. Okay, to summarize, know your mechanism. Don't become your reasons and justifications. Wake up and look for challenges. What is my body not good at? I'm going to put it through those movements and get it good at those movements. Knowing there isn't a place where there aren't challenges anymore. You're not going to get to a fitness and then stop. Yes, it gets easier. Once you got to your fitness goals, maintaining it is way, way easier than getting there. So yes, that's a massive factor. But people have it that there will be a time when they don't have this challenge, don't have problems. And that's what they think retirement is. And when you don't have problems, you don't live. Create your cocktail of comfort and discomfort that will get you the results you want and the life you want. Bring your lifestyle into health. Think, okay, here's how I have to challenge my body to live a really healthy life. How can I fit the rest of my life into it? I want you to exceed your belief in yourself. Okay, guys, hit me up if you have any questions. paulmvincent.com, my Instagram, paulmvincent, through Altus, altushealth.com. Don't stress about it. Just understand what's controlling you. Don't be guilty about what you didn't do, what you didn't accomplish, or where you're at. Once you understand your mechanism, you'll be able to easily remove the barriers and get to the goals and life you want.